Five, four, three, two, one, zero, ignition, liftoff.
Hi, everybody. I'm Brian Clapp, director of content for WorkinSports.com, and this is the Work in Sports podcast. So I've been doing some crazy outreach lately for podcast guests. I get pretty excited when I book a big guest, and I'll admit the chase is part of the fun. I message people through LinkedIn. I hit up a contact I know. I make some calls, do a little bit of begging. I try to present our podcast experience as a fun and informative conversation, and a great deal of the time it works. Of course, I hit some dry spells or I get some non-answers, people that just don't respond, and that's part of the deal. I'm prepared for rejection. It happens. I don't take any of it personally. I would suggest any of you out there who are, I don't know, trying to talk to somebody who is in hiring or talk to somebody out there who's doing a job you want and you don't hear from them right away, then, hey, that's part of the deal. Don't take it personally. But this week, something kind of new and fun happened. I reached out to an HR director with a Major League Baseball team, someone really in charge of the hiring for this team and incredibly connected. You know, I went back through a lot of our data from the podcast and looked at the episodes that are most commonly downloaded. And there's definitely a theme there. You guys like these HR reps. You guys want to hear from the people directly in charge of hiring. So I want to get more of those on the show. I reached out to this person and they said, basically, I love your podcast. I've heard people in the industry talking about it, and while I'd love to be on, I'm not comfortable with public speaking, and I think I wouldn't come off that well. Now, first off, she said she's been hearing industry buzz about this podcast. I mean, seriously, after that, she could have told me she was the Greek god of war sent directly by Zeus to murder me, and I'm not sure I would have even heard it, or I would have been like, I don't know, awestruck or with stars going around my head. I was kind of stunned by her admission that she was hearing this kind of a buzz, and it took a second to catch my breath. I mean, I love this podcast. I know the information is great. I know the guests have loved being involved. I know the fans are growing and awesome, but there's still something about being told by someone that you don't know, that you've never have no connections with the team, who's in a high ranking position, that they've heard of me and this podcast. I mean, that's bonkers. It's seriously like just crazy, but I love it. Anyway, enough about my ego. I completely understood her conundrum. I mean, she wanted to help, but she wasn't really confident enough to do the whole show thing. I totally get that. So in the moment, I pivoted and said, well, how about you and I just chat for a second about some of the biggest mistakes you see people make in their job search? And she said, totally. That was good. So she's going to remain anonymous. I'm not going to mention her name or the team. And the reason for that is because a lot of times when you talk to a team and you say, hey, I'd love to have you on the podcast, what they say is, that sounds great. Send me all your questions in advance. Send me a one sheet about your program. I'm going to tell my director of communication or my director of public relations. I'm going to ask them about it first. Make sure it's okay with them. Have them contact you. Make sure they feel good about the conversation with you. And then they'll approve it. And then we'll do it. So that's the process. I have like four of those going on right now that are in process. These conversations that take 3 weeks to maybe get them to vet me and approve of me. So she said, you know, we'd have to go through that entire process if you publicize who I am and my name. But if you just want to have an informal chat, not off the record, just informal, then just keep me anonymous and you can still share the information I'm sharing, which I thought was a great idea. We're just going to go with what she shared. We're just going to talk about that today, about the things that she sees that are the biggest mistakes people make in their job seeking process or in their attempts to get hired. First off, she said her and her team are directly responsible for hiring between 50 and 100 people per year in all departments. That's a lot of interviews to get those many people hired. So she really knows her stuff. So take this all very seriously. Her number one pet peeve, number one, was, and I get the vibe that these were like, I didn't ask her to rank them, but I got the vibe that these were the first things off the top of her head, the first things that really got her frustrated. Her number one thing was when the interviewee doesn't ask follow-up questions. That was her biggest pet peeve. She said, there's no way in an interview I can handle and cover every single thing possible. So if the person across from me at the other end, when I say, do you have any questions for me? Has nothing. It tells me they are not fully engaged. They don't know enough about the industry. They haven't researched well enough about this position. And there's no way possible that they should have no questions. That was the way she phrased it. So think about that for a second. If you go into a situation where they're talking with you the entire time, they got all these great things they're asking you, you're on the spot, you're answering questions, you're firing off about yourself, but you don't have any questions to ask about them, to ask about their culture. Now, we handled this on an earlier podcast. I gave you different questions that you should be asking during an interview, and I'll include a link to that in the show notes. I gave you tons of good questions you could be asking at the end of an interview. And I suggest you write those down and study those, because clearly it is important. Now, you also need to think about this differently. Do not ask things such as, don't go superficial. This is a chance for you to prove yourself. Don't ask like, how much vacation do I get? Or what will my salary be? Or how quickly do you promote? You want them to be deeper and more in depth than that. And that's a lot of the conversation we had in a previous podcast. I won't go do that too deeply, but I do suggest you go back and listen to that, because it's important. It's clearly important. The next thing that was top on her list of big mistakes people need make in their job search or their attempt to get hired is terribly, poorly thought out, cut and paste cover letters. Again, quoting directly, that's what she said. She loves a good cover letter. She said it tells her more about the candidate's personality and whether they will fit or not. That's how she gets her initial vibe. And a lot of people are submitting their application for jobs and not even including a cover letter at all. And she thought that was a big mistake. What that tells the hiring manager is two things. It says chances are this person is just spraying their resume out everywhere and doesn't want to put in the effort of making a good cover letter, which is a huge red flag. Hiring managers tend to push that person aside. But it also tells them that you haven't really taken the time to do any research, or maybe you aren't confident, right? Or maybe you aren't a confident writer who can put thoughts together well, or maybe you're just going through the motions. All these things leave the hiring manager with a negative perception of you, or a question, a lingering question, a belief that you aren't serious, or just some doubt. Your job in this process is to remove doubt. You want them to think like, I have the skills, I have the personality, I have the ability to construct a cover letter that's going to present me in the right way. And that's going to leave them feeling confident in bringing you in for an interview. It's time to show employers you mean business. And the way to do that is by really having a good set of materials. You only have so many things, so many tools in your tool belt to make an impression. Your cover letter, your resume, maybe you get a phone call, but whatever. Maybe there's some other forms or portfolio or things you have to submit, a marketing plan, anything like that. Those are the ways that you're going to make an impression. So use all of those tools to their best advantage. We also have an episode on cover letter, why your cover letter stinks and how you should improve it. So go back and listen to that one. Again, I'll link to it in the show notes. Number three on her list of things that really drove her crazy in the application process that people make mistakes on are errors in the actual submission. Now, this sounds like something you're probably saying to yourself, oh, I don't do that, that you would never do that, I'd never do that. But she said, honestly, 80% of resumes have just, 80% of submissions, online forms, or even people's own resumes or their cover letters have alarming mistakes in them. Now, if you're going to fill out an application online or sending in a paper copy, you better double, triple, and quadruple check it. Because if you have sloppy work, what that's telling them is you can't be trusted to do detail-oriented work. They're not going to go and recommend you to the person in hire that is going to manage this role if they think you can't do really strong, detail-oriented work. You're sending a really bad message when you make sloppy mistakes. And again, you don't want to give off this impression that you're just going through the motions. You know, when I interviewed Colleen Scholes, who's a talent acquisition manager for the Philadelphia Eagles, she said that for most jobs that they open up for, only 25% of the people are actually qualified. And what that means is there's a lot of people out there that are just applying for jobs because they like the idea of working for a team. They might not have the skills, they might not have the right tools, but they're going to apply anyway. And that really sends the wrong message. It really tells the hiring manager that you're not serious in this process. You're just banging stuff out. You're just like, fill out this form, send, you know, copy paste cover letter, send. And that's a really bad aura to be presenting. So take your time. As Don Castante, who's the senior director of game presentation for the Kansas City Royals, I'm totally name dropping today. Have you noticed that? Anyway, I'm referencing, that's what I'm doing. I'm not name dropping. I'm referencing source material. It's a different way of doing it. It's a writer's technique. I'm researching and sharing information. Anyway, Don Castante, senior director of game presentation for the Kansas City Royals, episode whatever. I'll link to that too. He said, listen, your resume should be the single best document you've ever created. And you need to take that approach to your application as well. You need to make sure that thing is dialed in. It's not just attaching your resume and filling out the form haphazardly. Take it all very seriously and make sure that time is put into it. Number four, people who apply, I kind of referenced this a little bit, but she said people who apply for the wrong job, it just drives her crazy. So here's what she means. She works filtering through. She gets a job rec. Okay. Somebody from a department says, here, we've been approved to hire for this job. And she goes through her database, gets the jobs posted on our site, gets the job posted in LinkedIn or wherever, and starts to bring in on their homepage, you know, all that good stuff. And they start to get the resumes to flood in. And then she has to go through them, right? She has to find the right candidate. She has to do the process. And there's nothing worse than wasting time looking at somebody's resume and cover letter for a job they're not even remotely qualified for. And you know what they do? They make notes. They keep records. And a lot of the applicant tracking systems out there will chart, because they're all, a lot of companies are using the same applicant tracking systems, right? Taleo or whatever. There's a bunch of different systems. They all chart and track and say, yeah, this person's applied for 15 other jobs at your company, or they've applied for 120 jobs in the last 24 hours. They're going to know quickly that you were just in there wasting your time, or you're just desperate to find a job. And it's really frustrating to them that they're having to waste their time filtering through these resumes. What they want to get the most qualified and best people who are really interested in that job. So if you're going to use some crazy, you know, wide technique of just spraying your resume out there everywhere, it's not going to work. You're going to be discounted for future jobs at a company because you start to get labeled as someone who just throws a resume out there at any job available. You can make the hiring manager mad because they wasted time looking at your resume. Or even worse, you come in for an interview because let's say you do get lucky enough and somehow you get through the process and you get asked and somebody says, what is your ideal career path? What do you see for yourself in the future? And you're like, oh, I'd really like to see a career in marketing, even though you're applying and interviewing for a sales job. It drives the hiring manager crazy. You know, you want to make sure that you're on the right path, that you're not kind of just veering off and doing whatever comes to mind and that you think might just be your lottery ticket. Stay in your lane. If you want to work in a certain field, get those skills right, get your experience right, and apply for those jobs. Don't branch out too far, else you're just wasting their time and others. And the last one that she mentioned, and this was one that I didn't think was too big of a deal, but it definitely rang as a note with her. She said that she did not like it when somebody badmouthed their previous employer during the interview process. Now, personally, I get it. You had a job, maybe you got fired or you decided to quit, and you think that by explaining in your next job interview all the things that were wrong about your previous employer, it shows your depth of knowledge and how you would do things differently. But hiring managers see it totally differently. The impression you're giving off is that you're not loyal and that you're not a positive person. Instead, you're viewed as someone who dwells in the past and has a negative vibe. These hiring managers, like the hiring managers I've talked to over my career, and especially this person that I was talking about, they said when they hear someone badmouthing their employer, all that she could think of is them badmouthing me or our company as soon as we give them an assignment they don't like. And that's a scenario that hiring managers don't want to contemplate. They don't want to think that I can't trust this person, or that if I give them something to do and they don't want to do it, they're going to go out there and talk, you know, bad stuff about us. So instead of bad-mouthing your employer, try to think of positive things that can spin your experience forward, because that's what hiring managers want to see and hear. They want to see and hear, you know, how you took your past experiences and can spin it towards something positive to your future and how you're going to contribute to their organization. So I found this conversation to be fascinating. I found this topic to be, you know, what are people doing wrong out there? I mean, that's really right at the heart of what all of you are seeking, what you're looking for advice on, where you might be making mistakes or where you might be doing things right. And my general approach and then my general like macro point here would be take each individual application very seriously. Double check your work, write a unique cover letter, check your resume and see if there's certain things you need to emphasize that fit into this specific job. Be ready with follow-up questions that you show you're really interested in this position and this company, and do your research, dig deep into it. If you do those things, if you start doing that and take each application very seriously, you're going to find that you make a great connection with the hiring managers and the HR reps out there in the industry. And that matters. It matters a lot. So I thank our anonymous tipster out there, who's a HR rep with a MLB team, who's hopefully playing well right now. It's raining out, so anyway, doesn't matter. I'm just being funny. That's it for today. On Wednesday, This is going to be great. Bob Millett, who is the assistant general manager of the New Orleans Baby Cakes, who are the AAA affiliate of the Miami Marlins. Bob joins the show and has tons of great experience, tons of great advice that he shares about building up his career within minor league baseball and eventually becoming assistant general manager, which is super, super cool. So we'll talk to Bob on Wednesday, and I'll talk to you guys then. Bye.